I always think life is like a long hallway, and you're walking down the hallway, you open one door and you learn something there. You think, hey, this is what I'm going to pursue. This is what my calling is. And you think that's what it's going to be. And then something changes. A roadblock comes in your way. Or for me, my whole life was playing in the NBA. I thought I was absolutely going to play in the NBA, Justin. 3 years into it, I'm playing in Northern Spain, and the coach calls me after the first preseason game and says, we're going to send you home. And that's the door closing. So the door closed on what I thought my pursuit was. And I always say this line in the talks that I give. My mom had said this motivational quote when I came back to live on my parents' recliner chair in Kansas City after I'd been cut from the team in Spain, feeling bad for myself, licking my wounds. And I was there kicked back in the recliner. My mom was doing dishes in the kitchen. She said, David, when one door closes, four open in an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean.
This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm your host, Justin Rothling Schoeffer. And if you're new here, all I have to say is welcome. Welcome to the first step of something new. Welcome to the first step of something different, because what you're about to realize is what it takes to live a life that is different. What does it take to live a life that is unique, a life that's uncommon, a life that ultimately separates you from the norm? Send you up the stream the opposite way, because that's how we want to live. And that's how we realize a life that is truly different. And so we got 300 episodes that you can go take a look back on. We've got amazing guests. We've got solo podcasts. We've got things where it's just truly life changing. And if this is your first time and you hear something that impacts you, that changes your life, that shifts your thought process, that changes your perspective, let us know. Leave a review. Click those 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 stars, preferably 5. If there's something that bothers you, take a screenshot, post it, and let's talk about it, because it probably bothered you for a reason. And so if we can actually start doing that, that's how we continue to spread and ultimately change lives one at a time. And so today's guest, I could not be more excited about, because we were talking a little bit before here, and he's like, bro, you're my best friend that I have never met. And it's so crazy to think about it, that we've known each other for about 2 years now, and have never met in person. We've crossed paths. We've actually been in the same airport, but on opposite terminals that we haven't been able to actually get together. We've had plans to meet, and then all of a sudden plans change because I got booked for something or he got booked for something. But we've been doing life together from a distance. And what a gift it's been to be able to get to know this man, get to know the soul of this man, get to know the mission of this man, get to know the true purpose of this man, get to know the calling that's on this man, and just to get him the ability to watch him do his thing and watch the anointing that is on his life and watch him changing lives from a distance. David Nurse, it is so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for blessing with us your time. And I can't wait for you to ultimately drop some knowledge on our audience, because you're full of it.
Justin, man, how do I wake up to that kind of enthusiasm and introduction every day? Seriously, that's amazing, brother.
We're probably going to have to meet each other once so that you can carry me around with you.
Come on. Yeah. I'll put you, piggyback style. We'll go everywhere together. Deal.
I love it. I'll be your call out guy on those stages. You know what? Here we go. D-Nurse.
Done. So, done deal.
So good. David, it's been so awesome to watch just from a distance, because when you see where you've been and where you've come from, obviously coming from, like a lot of people in this space, having a sports background, like coming up and working with professional athletes, that's the spot. That's where you want to be. That's what's going to give you the credibility. That's what's going to give you the ego drive. That's what's going to give you the boost up. But then now seeing how you're impacting hundreds of thousands of people, not only through your books, not only through your speaking, but also now your platform and how you're actually starting to get people to actually make moves. And we've talked about your book, Pivot and Go. We've talked about your book, Breakthrough. We've talked about your book, Don't Quit. All of these things that you continue to do, continue to put out, Wiley Brothers at heart, but being able to make sure that you're putting things into this world that are so unique, so different. Talk about this journey that you've had of really kind of coming through your own experiences and now being able to have influence in the way in which you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always think life is like a long hallway, And you're walking down the hallway, you open one door and you learn something there. You think, hey, this is what I'm going to pursue. This is what my calling is. And you think that's what it's going to be. And then something changes. A roadblock comes in your way. Or for me, my whole life was playing in the NBA. I thought I was absolutely going to play in the NBA, Justin. And I poured every waking hour into it. I grinded my way to play college basketball. And then I'm playing professionally overseas, and it's actually more like a Will Ferrell semi-pro type of league than it is professional basketball. But I'm still thinking I'm going to play in the NBA. And 3 years into it, I'm playing in Northern Spain, and the coach calls me after the first preseason game and says, we're going to send you home. You can't cut it. So every one of my hopes and goals and dreams, I poured in 23 years of my life, 24 years of my life, and it was just taken away from me right there. And that's the door closing. So the door closed on what I thought my pursuit was. Then you get back out in the hallway and you keep walking. You walk down the hallway and another door is there to open. And, you know, it's interesting what God has for you that you don't understand that you have. And I think a lot of people, yeah, that door closes on them and they think it's over. They don't find what the beauty in it. And I always say this line in the talks that I give. My mom had said this motivational quote when I came back to live on my parents' recliner chair in Kansas City after I'd been cut from the team in Spain, feeling bad for myself, licking my wounds. And I was there kicked back in the recliner. My mom was doing dishes in the kitchen. She said, David, when one door closes, four open and an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean. I was like, Mom, what are you talking about? I thought it was one door. What's this four doors and beachfront patio? But essentially, she was saying exactly what I'm talking about in this long hallway is a door closed is not a door shut. A door closed opens up more opportunities for you. For me, it was the realization that I didn't necessarily have the gifts to play in the NBA, but I did to be able to pour into players who had more God-given ability, 7 foot height and athleticism to help them pursue the NBA. And it's the four doors, meaning when a door is shut, that skill set that you have developed is a transferable skill. What I mean by a transferable skill is when something closes, you've just learned so many different skill sets and attributes to be able to apply to something else. It's not a hard stop. It's not a you're fired. You will never use these skills again. It's what did you use? What did you grow? What did you develop to use to something greater? Personal skills and basketball, mindset, all that kind of stuff to help other players play in the NBA. So I went on this mad pursuit, Justin, to coach in the NBA. I didn't have any connections at the time. So I hand wrote a letter to every NBA GM. None of them got back to me. Now, a month and a half later, I got a call from a 310 area code number, Los Angeles. It was the GM of the LA Clippers, Gary Sachs. We have a quick conversation at the end of it. He said, you know, if you're ever out in LA, look me up. Let's grab coffee. Basically, one of those good luck with the rest of your life, kid type of lines. But I took that as an opportunity. These are these doors opening. When someone opens a door, you take the opportunity. He presented it. So I booked a ticket to be out in LA that following week, spent all the money that I had, barely any, stole some of my parents' money so I could be in LA to act like I was going to do a basketball camp so that I didn't look desperate. Now I prepared for this meeting and walked into Gary's office, and I can vividly remember it as a snapshot moment in my life. Snapshot moments being those moments in your life that you can call back exactly where you're at, know the impact that it had on you. I had my only button-up shirt on, and I was soaking sweat through it all. But Gary and I hit it off, had a great conversation. Every NBA connection that I've gotten stemmed from that relationship with Gary Sachs. I end up living with him years later when I move out to LA. He's one of the people in my wedding. He's one of my best friends to this day. I'm actually having dinner with him tonight, crazy enough, all because I took that chance. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the biggest things that people have to understand is we are playing a no-lose game. Life is a no-lose game. Now think about this. If you take a shot going for your dreams, the worst that can happen, literally the worst, is someone says no. Someone says no ultimately just means it's next. You're on to the next. There is no no. So with Gary and writing these letters, had he not gotten back to me or anybody gotten back to me, I would have been at the same exact place that I was. And I think a lot of people hold themselves back, and that's the whole point of the do it life-changing power of taking action book is is the reason we don't take action is because we fear what the results are going to be. Uncertainty is the biggest fear. If you're going to take action and you don't know the results, it's harder to take action in the moment. So I know I'm talking a lot here. I'm just telling the whole backstory and how this interweaves in here. So with Gary, like, I also knew that, like, he wasn't just going to say, hey, you know, this guy, David, I just met, he's a young kid who wants a coaching job. Let's give him one. No, it doesn't work that way. I had to make myself the expert. And this is what I've learned in being in Los Angeles and in the Hollywood space. And my wife is, you can't act like you're desperate. You have to make yourself the expert in something for them to come to you. So all I could do was shoot a basketball. I didn't play any defense. None of the other athleticism stuff, just shoot. So I knew I could teach players how to shoot. So I started these basketball camps. I had these basketballs made extremely cheap, horrible leather from China. They had this white line down the middle so you could see the rotation on the ball. Had them sent to the Oakland Seaport. I drive in my little Nissan Maxima 29 hours out to Oakland, put them in my car, spend the next 5 years of my life driving around the country, doing basketball camps for anybody that would take me in, and literally sleeping in my car throughout the Midwest and well-lit Walmart parking lots, crashing on friends' couches who I hadn't even met before. They didn't even know I was their friend. But just, you know, that the journey of it, I love the pursuit. I love the teaching basketball as my vehicle to, you know, to inspire other people, kids in this sense. And 5 years in, I'm in Melbourne, Australia. I get an email in my inbox. I was doing a camp, basketball camp out there, and the email said, Brooklyn Nets shooting coach. Like, I don't know anybody from Brooklyn. This is probably a cruel joke or some spam email. But I was curious, so I opened it up. And that next week, I was a shooting coach for the Brooklyn Nets. My dream of becoming an NBA coach had happened through connections with Gary Sachs, through making myself the expert, through continuing to do camps and camps. I've done basketball camps in the craziest places where I was sleeping on, Justin, I was sleeping on a friend's couch of mine and working with a junior high school basketball player in the state of New Mexico who did not even like basketball. Her parents just literally won the lottery, of all things, $12 million in the lottery, and they needed a tax write-off. I was a tax write-off for 6 months. So all that being said, life, that long hallway, coming back to that, doors will close, doors will open. You continue to take steps forward, and you will transform. If you're out there thinking, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, or I don't like what I'm doing with my life, it does not have to stay the same. You're going to continue to grow, continue to transform, but you have to be willing to take action, radical strategic action, when you don't know where that step is going to land. And trust that it will, that God does have the plan for you. You just have to keep taking the steps.
It's so good. And I mean, listeners, I hope you're leaning into this, because if you've listened to our last two episodes that have dropped, we talked about the importance of relationships. We talked about how when you build relationships, when you become an expert at something, true relationships, the purest relationships, have nothing to do about you, have nothing to do about the other person, but ultimately about the person that you have not met yet. Meaning, how are the interactions of the people that you're connecting with going to influence and impact the people that you haven't even met yet? That's when you know that your intentions and your most purest relationships that you're forming are ultimately going to be there. And if you actually track back to anything great that's ever happened in your life, it's always come down to a relationship that you built. It's always come down to something that's powerful. And so that's, I think, what I want you to pull from David's example and story here, is it's not because David's great. It's not that because David's beautiful. It's not because David's talented. It's not because David is all of these things, although he is all of these things. It's not because he has any more of it than you do. It's simply because he was willing to build relationships. He was willing to be a beginner. He was willing to start again. He was willing to do it, lean in and do the work, do the reps, take the swings necessary, and have what I call an inevitable mindset. It goes back to what you said, where you can't fail. It's a no-lose game, because I believe there's four mindsets in life: impossible, possible, probable, and inevitable. But those who abide by inevitability know that no matter what you're going for, there's always going to be an outcome. It's just a matter of whether it's something that you desire. And ultimately, you'll get to where you desire if you stay in the game long enough, if you continue to keep going, if you continue to keep doing the reps. And so there is no impossible, there is no possible, there is no probable, there's only inevitable, because we work for and serve a God that ultimately has already prepared the way But if you're unwilling to prepare yourself, you can't realize the blessings that are there, because what you're called for is so much greater than what you're praying for, but what you're praying for, you're not yet prepared for. And so it comes back to preparation. It comes back to sitting into it. It comes back to learning so that you can ultimately just do it. Right. I absolutely love it.
You're dropping the nuggets, man. Like, I need to start asking you the questions. That was gold.
It's so good. I mean, I'm just playing off you. I'm playing off the things that like you're dropping that are so good here. And I love it. And so when you actually sit back, when you sit back and look at that story, and the reason I love this story is because you literally go from the armchair in your parents' room to the courtside seat in Brooklyn Arena. Like, just think about that dichotomy for a second. In a span of, what'd you say, 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, first off, just everybody listening, honor to you for being patient. Honor for you for doing the work over time. Because talk to me about doors closing versus doors opening. How many times did you have to close another door? How many times did you have to walk away from a door that was potentially open in order to say yes to the things that got you to that place?
Well, that's a great question, man. Really, really good, thought for people to have, because nothing comes quickly. It just doesn't happen. Like, of all the friends that we have, the successful people, I've never heard a story where someone's like, yeah, I hit instant success and lasted the whole time. Everybody's done all this work prior. And then once people start hearing about them,
yeah,
like, oh man, it seems like it was an overnight success. And like, oh, well, yeah, he did that for 20 years prior. Yeah. It's like my uncle, I always tell the story. He won the NBA championship in his first year as a head coach. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, Nick Nurse, he got so lucky. Lightning struck in a bottle up in Toronto in 2019. Little did anybody know, he'd been a head coach for 27 years prior, coaching in leagues that didn't even know that there was basketball existed over in England. Leagues where he's making $0, leagues that don't exist anymore, taping players ankles before the game, popping popcorn at halftime. Like, you don't see that.
Yeah.
They just see the success that happens. And yeah, I think this one of the most important skills somebody can have is just the power of don't give upness. Mm. You don't know how it's exactly going to work out, but if you literally just keep going and keep going and taking steps forward, and like you were saying, connecting. I think connecting and genuinely building relationships is the most important thing that you can do. The most fun thing in life is actually the most important thing for business. When does that go hand in hand? Like, building relationships, we were created for relationships. So good. And there is never going to be anything that someone does on a massive scale that somebody else did not set them up for. I know in my own life, book deals, speaking agents, anything that I've done that has been like, whoa, that's amazing. I can never point to myself and think that I self-generated it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's just like you were saying, man, it never happens overnight. But that's also the good thing about it.
Yeah.
Is you will have, it's withstanding success if you're willing to put in the years, you're willing to put in the work, and you're not worried about when that time is going to happen too. Because you also have to remind yourself of, if you do hit that quick success, you won't be ready for it. So I kind of like, 5 years is kind of a fast amount of time, to be honest with you. And I was in Brooklyn coaching with the Nets when I was 27. I didn't know what I didn't know. Had I been there now, I would have probably been, I would have been a lot better at it.
Sure.
But I burnt out quickly, and that's a whole nother story. Like, I got fired 1 year and I got fired. A door shut again, but then there were more doors to open, and there's a whole pursuit of what came after that. But it's still that same type of concept of, really, man, it's like, what can you learn from the situation that you're in that's going to lead you to the situation that you're going to be next? And I think you said it to the person you are going to become. I call that term, it's actually called self-efficacy. It's living today as if the person you're going to be tomorrow. Like, actually doing the things of your goal is to be a CEO or be a entrepreneur, business owner. If you don't act like that today, you'll never become that tomorrow, because that person is completely separated. So I encourage people, like, plan out what that vision is going to be. Because if you don't have a vision, you don't really know where you're going. You're kind of just letting life happen to you instead of being in the control seat where you're driving. But there could be a better direction. That's like, you're driving down the road where you think you're going to go. And it's always the best feeling. One of my favorite feelings is when you have Waze or Google Maps up and it says quicker route found.
Yeah.
And it gives you like you gain 5 minutes. That's like God saying, hey, I've got a better plan for you. Let's go this way.
I was literally just about to give this analogy because when you're sitting here thinking about this, and I always say a calling that hasn't been tested is a calling that can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. And the way that you're preparing yourself is ultimately going to dictate what doors are opening, because it's only once you prepare yourself, only once you grow yourself, ultimately that can you receive and be able to receive the blessings in which are already prepared for you. And so I still remember sitting in traffic, Miami traffic, bumper to bumper. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what is happening here? This is no good. And the reason we were all backed up, get this, is because the express lane was blocked. So they had pylons in front of the express lane, so you weren't allowed to get in. And as you were getting closer, you were bumper to bumper, go, 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 stop, go, stop, go, stop. And I think we moved like maybe a half mile in 45 minutes. Like it was wild. It was wild. Well, anyways, we pull right up to the entrance of the express lane. And as we pull up to the entrance of the express lane, a cop gets out and starts moving the pylons. And all of a sudden we can now jump over into the express lane and we're just full go, full send straight down the express lane. And we get to where we needed to go in 8 minutes. And I'm like, isn't that like God, where all of a sudden you've prepared yourself, you've been patient, you've been waiting, you've been in line, you've done the work, you've showed up, you've done it, you've put in the reps. And all of a sudden you open up your inbox and you've got, hey, Brooklyn, that shooting coach. Like that's what that looks like. That's what that looks like to you. And so don't expect you to go and do something once and all of a sudden have a reward sitting in your inbox. It's the reps over and over and over again, because the habits and behaviors that you develop today are simply a vote of the person you want to come tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And so again, just kudos to you on that. But I want to go to something that you just shot over, glanced over a little bit, was another door shutting. So now all of a sudden you've got your dream job. You've got this place, you've worked for it, you've built it, but then you get fired a year later. Talk us through this feeling, the emotions, the way that this whole thing came about, and where it ultimately propelled you to.
Yeah, absolutely. So we went from, when I got out to Brooklyn, 28th and 3-point percentage, and we skyrocketed to second. And I was getting all this NBA media articles, ESPN, this hype that this young up and coming coach. I was like, I was drinking my own Kool-Aid, man. I was like, yep, I'm the man. And then our head coach got fired, and everybody was out. So once again, all of this to get to my dream job, 5 years pursuing this, and it's gone. And nobody was calling after that. It's kind of late in the hiring process. So I came out to Los Angeles and I started training players individually. And that's kind of like, okay, what could I use from my skill set that I had at Brooklyn to be able to apply? And it was training NBA players. And then I kind of, you know, building relationships. I got in with these agents and UCLA basketball and different just relationships that I built would send players. And I'd start getting all these players coming to me. In the off seasons, I would have all-stars. I was working with Wasserman Agency and they were sending Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, like all these superstars. And then I had this moment too, Justin, like I thought like that was my pursuit. So once again, as you can see, this life is going many different ways. I'm getting punched in the face, getting back up. I'm off track. I'm coming back on track, like all over the place. And I had this moment in the off season of 2019. It's like, I just don't love doing this anymore. I was at the gym at 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. I would passed out a couple of times, literally collapsed on the floor because I was exhausted. And I was giving everything I could training these players. And it's like, I got to make a change. Now, I didn't know what to do really, but I knew the part that I loved of the training NBA players was more than the skill set, but it was seeing them grow their confidence, grow their self-belief, their mindset, as opposed to just their skill set. I was like, there's got to be something to this. And I actually just developed a relationship with one of my closest friends today, you know, John Gordon very well. And he's like, dude, you should look into speaking and writing books. Like you could do this. I had no idea what that looked like. And I've got this whole crazy story of how I ended up booking my first keynote talk. But the point being is that pursuit, the skill set that I had learned through basketball translated to something else. So when I started speaking, people were like, whoa, you're just going to go into keynotes. You've never talked. Well, I had. I'd been motivating NBA players. I've been doing 7-hour basketball camps, talking the whole time. So it wasn't a whole new, it's the transferable skills that I was talking about. Yep. Now, one of the most important things, and you touched on it earlier, is in this pursuit, there's always going to be these good opportunities that come up. It's just, I mean, it's an amazing blessing of the life that we live, and I'm sure everybody else out there has it too. It's not the bad opportunities that keep you away from your great pursuit. It's the good opportunities that we have all heard it. It's not the enemy of great is not bad. That's obvious. The enemy of great is good. So I got these offers, got an offer to coach with the Phoenix Suns. And I was told I could run all the player development. I could bring in all my optimization specialists. I was a nut for that kind of stuff. And everybody from the outside was like, dang, you're going to do it. You're back in the NBA. This is going to be amazing. The noise from the outside told me that's what great looked like. To me, I knew that wasn't my pursuit, but I wasn't willing to stay true to myself because I wanted to have what everybody else thought was cool. But John Gordon called me out. He's like, hey, is this really what God's got called for you? Is he really telling you to go back in the NBA? And it hit me. I was like, no, it's not. So I turned it down. And it's one of the biggest lessons of people don't achieve their greatness, what they're called, created to do, what God has in store for them, not because they don't have the ability to do that. They count themselves out. They already discredit themselves, and they'll take shiny object syndrome. I think that's one of the hardest things. Oh, there's this event going on. Oh, there's this business deal we can do. Oh, we should do this. But if it doesn't align with your life mission statement, and the life mission statement should be a one-liner that you can tell people every decision you make is funneled through that. Mine is I help people unlock the gifts they have inside of them so that they can go unlock gifts for others. If that doesn't deal with that, I'm not taking it, even if it seems really good. Because the shiny object syndrome, the distraction, not just the distraction from your phone or TV screens, but the distraction from good opportunities will ultimately keep you away from your great opportunity.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's so true. I mean, when you think back and you sit back on that, my mission is to redeem the health of the world through educating, empowering, and equipping people to take control of their health again. And I think when you can lean on that, and when you know that, there becomes no hard decision. Everything becomes very simple, and it becomes channeled to where, going back and using your analogy, you can literally walk down your hallway. Your hallway is straight. And yes, there's going to be little doors that open along the way that you have to decide whether to walk through or close. But you ultimately are able to dictate and have an understanding there. It's nothing like looking down a hallway and seeing 9 different paths to go down and be like, oh my gosh, I have no idea which one to do. At that point, you're gambling. And nobody can gamble with your calling, because if you gamble with your calling, there's no way you're realizing it. And that's, I think, where we get frustrated a lot of these times. Mm-hmm. Now I know your book, Do It. And if anybody, I'll put it in the show notes, but if anybody looks at it, it's probably one of the coolest covers I've ever seen, where it says, don't quit. But then what happens is D-O in don't and I-T in quit is highlighted white. And so it's do it, but don't quit as a subconscious subtitle. Powerful. So good. Thanks. You talk about the archetypes in there, and you talk about these concepts of what prevents people from actually taking action, what prevents people from actually doing the thing. I'd love for you to just to share with the audience a little bit, like, what are some of those components to that? What are some of those things that maybe they can relate to, they can call out a little bit and draw some level of recognition, draw some level of understanding to themselves and be like, oh, dang, I love what David's talking about and I can actually resonate with that.
Yeah. So I compare it to like the actionable form of the Enneagram. If you're familiar with the Enneagram, it's a personality test to tell you what type of person you are. It doesn't behold you into any like one's better than the other. It's just your personality type mixed with a little, you know, like everybody uses Atomic Habits since it's very popular and they know it's actionable tools, and some Malcolm Gladwell, crazy cool stories of historical figures in the past that went on to change the world. So that's kind of the mix that I tell. But the only way to achieve goals, and everybody has goals to some extent, is through taking action. It's literally the only way. The reason we don't take action is all based on fear, some type of fear. So through 3 years of doing my own personal studies and a lot of research and surveys, I narrowed it down to 9 reasons of fear why people don't take action. Those being the allodaxophobic, which is fear of other people's opinions, the burned, meaning somebody in your past, some situation in your past left you burned, so you are unwilling to take action in the present. The inopportune, where you think, well, it's just not the right time. I'm too young for this. I'm too old for this. It's never going to be the right time. The blamer, where you're blaming somebody for your situation, whether it's your parents, where you were born, or whatever it might be. It's easy to blame. There's no, you know, cross jurisdiction going on. You can always point a finger at somebody else, and most people will let you off the hook. The test believer, and that's somebody who thinks they take a test, which is kind of ironic because this is similar to that, but it's more to the point of like, hey, you know what? I'm an introvert. I can't take action. I'm an introvert. I just can't talk to people. Well, it's not introvert and extrovert has nothing to do with can you or can't you talk to people. It's how you recharge. Most people don't understand that. So it's not limiting you to a label per se. The distracted, like we talked about, like it's not necessarily your phone that's distracting you. It can be, but it's also the shiny objects that are getting in your way of your true mission. The scarcity mindset, where you're thinking like you have to hold on to anything. Like it's always funny when people will never like, oh, I got to hold on to just only my connections, only my contacts. When in reality, it's all of us working together. It creates an abundance. The perfectionist gets a lot of people where they think they have to be perfect. You have to have it all together before you take action. If you went back and watched some of my old YouTube videos of doing basketball camps, talking in front of a camera, you would laugh your butt off because they are horrible. My first podcast I did, no idea what I was doing at all. They're terrible. But if I waited till I was perfect, I would have started in the first place. And you have to take action forever to be great. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to take action and start for you to ever be great. And the last one is the underestimator. It's where you just count yourself out. There's two types of people, literally only two types of people in so many different situations. One of the most powerful ones, I think, is those who say, why me? Where they look at others and they're like, oh, why? I could never do that. Why me? Why do I deserve a great life? And those who say, why not me? Where they look at something like, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be the best speaker, coach, whatever it might be, fill in the blank for your life. Somebody's got to be the best at it. Why not you? And those are the nine different ways of why people hold themselves back. So the point of it is to read this and you'll see, okay, which ones do you associate with? It could be one, it could be three, and you'll see what's actually going on in your brain. Like there's literal chemicals in your brain that are causing this to happen. You'll see what's going on in your feelings, which I call the heart, and then able to, okay, now I know it, I'm aware of it. All right, here's how I can overcome it. There's an action for each one of them. And there's also an action animal, which I haven't really talked much about that, but animals, they don't deal with these kind of things. They're purists in the sense. Animals aren't fearing the other opinions of animals. Animals aren't blaming somebody else. They're not thinking they need to be perfectionists. So I go into these cool different stories and outlining animals in each situation. So that's kind of an overview of it.
I love it. Which one or several do you actually relate to the most?
The distracted, for sure. We've been talking about the shiny object syndrome. You know, I think I talk about it a lot because I'm a work in progress on that, for sure. A little bit of perfectionist. I'm not too bad with that. Definitely the distracted more than anything else.
So when you think about the distracted and the perfectionist, what animals come along with that? I'm just curious. I'm interested by this concept of how you align it back.
Yes. Let me make sure that sometimes when you write it, you forget exactly what you had with it. I've got the animal. Let me pull this up. The perfectionist for the animal. Okay. It is the squirrel. So a squirrel is one that can fall from a tree and they actually will always like land on their feet. They're never falling and they're just crashing. And they can basically like the flying squirrels and everything. So they never have to get it right. If they miss a branch, they're going to be fine. They're going to land on a branch. They're going to bounce back. Mm-hmm. The distracted, let's see.
Think about the squirrel and you talk about the perfectionist, as you're going through this perfectionist animal within the squirrel, they're not waiting for the perfect moment to jump from branch to branch. They're not waiting for the wind location to be right. They're not waiting for the leaves to fall appropriately. They're jumping, they're taking action, and oh, they're going to figure it out as they're getting through. They know they've prepared. They know they're strong enough. They know they've got the capability. Now they're just going, doing the thing and figuring out as they go.
Yeah. Like in one of my favorites is the inopportune. It's a thoroughbred horse. Thoroughbred horses, the top horses, they're like 3 years old, 2.5 years old to 3 years old. That seems really young, but they're the ones running in the Triple Crown. So there's just a lot of stuff that you can take from nature and animals. And it's just a fun way to bring it back with the action.
So good. So good. I love it. I love it. The David, do you have a space where people can pick up a copy, or where it's going to be most accessible, or where people can find more of it?
Yeah. Anywhere books, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, my website, davidnurse.com.
If you're near the Chicago airport, I was walking through the other day, I snapped a picture, put it on Instagram. So it's in the Chicago airport. If you're near Chicago and you want to go grab a copy there too.
Airports are funny, man. Airports are funny with books, you know, like you see your book in there and people will be like, oh man, that's amazing that they decided to pick up your book and put it in there. And you're like, yeah, that actually was one of the most expensive marketing things that I did. Books. If I could run a company, it would be a airport bookstore, because every single book in there, somebody had to pay for that marketing.
Wow. That's a big one.
There you go. There's a behind the scenes look at the author world, everybody.
Behind the scenes look. How do we get into, where's a good place to start an entrepreneurial venture? It's an airport bookshop.
I'm telling you, man, parking lots or airport bookshops. Sign me up.
So funny. I love it. I love it. David, for somebody who has ultimately taken this life that they live, somebody who has taken this reality in which exists and operates in what I call ownership so well, what would you say is your definition in a word or a phrase of what ownership is?
Ooh, I love that. Ownership is, it is taking full responsibility of not just the life that you live, but the legacy that you leave. So what I mean by legacy is ultimately when you interact with people, how do you make them feel about themselves? What do you leave in each individual that you have a conversation with that is going to make them have more belief in themselves? Not in a false way, but in a true, literally a genuine encouragement type of way. So it's taking control of one, where, like we were talking about, what the gifts God has given you and understanding what they are, and in full pursuit of those, because I think it is a slap in God's face when you are gifted with something and you try to hold it back because you're in fear of one of those nine reasons that I gave. But then also it's how do you leave a legacy, and leaving a legacy is the way you make people feel when you interact with them.
So beautiful. I love it. I love it. And it's so pure, man. Like when you think about it, is the fact of legacy and what legacy actually is about. It has nothing to do about you. It has everything to do about how you're impacting all those people around you. So I absolutely love that. Where can people find more about you? Where can people find more about everything that you're doing, speaking, podcasting, and just you in general, if they want more David Nurse in their life?
Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for. If you want your daily dose of David Nurse, my website, davidnurse.com, I do a coaching group I call the Next Level Club. It's a really fun community of driven people who want to take their life in different areas to the next level.
I know you just launched that. Talk a little bit about that, because I've watched it from a distance as you've been creating it, as you've been going through it, and I've obviously taken a little bit of a deep dive into that as well. But talk a little bit about what your mission and purpose was with that group, because it's really unique.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's anywhere where they're at. Like I believe everybody at some capacity, driven individuals want to figure out what the next level is, whether it's in their business, in their mindset, in their relationships, in their connections. And we go on a journey, and it's a continually ongoing, you jump in, you meet the group that you're with, and it's 12 different success habits. So I teach you through everything that I've learned over the last 15 years and what I've taught, and like we're talking about building your personal mission statement, how to genuinely connect with people and grow an amazing, true network, how to get these different mindset tools that I've used with NBA players and coaches. So we go a deep dive in this, and ultimately, what is the feedback and the success results that people have seen has been amazing. The hardest thing for people to understand, and this is, I think, is a big time difference maker, is ROI. What is your ROI? If you are stuck on ROI being, I'm going to put in $10 and I'm going to get 20 back, you're probably not playing the right game.
Yeah.
That money will come.
That's good.
What you have to understand, the money's going to come in the long run. You'd rather have money long run than you would just have quick fixes. That's why I see flipping houses and stock picking like as a hot, sexy type of, I'll tell you how to do this. That's good for the quick. But if you want to build these habits, different success habits that you'll be able to use for the rest of your life, that's what the Next Level Club's about. It's not for everybody because not everybody understands that.
It's good. It's really good, David. I love that. I love the mission. And then where else can they find you?
Yeah, social media. David Nurse MBA, I think, is on all the different platforms. Or just, you know, you got to come out to the Best Coast, which, you know, Justin gets out here every once in a while. But yeah, I mean, it's not Miami is the coast I'm talking about. You come out here to Los Angeles.
I love it. I love it. It's I just always say we live in the best two cities in America. So we'll wrap it up in that.
Like Miami a lot.
So good. So good. Guys, I really encourage you to go check out Do It by David Nurse. It is something that is just going to really start to impact you in some different ways. And just getting around this guy, his energy, his wisdom, his journey, he's got an anointing on his life. And the more that you can get around people like that, the more that they're going to be rising tides around you and continue to help you pull out the things that are truly inside of you. And so that next level group is something else. We'll put all that in the show notes so you can lead in. But everybody listening, I need you to remember you're playing a no-lose game. You're playing a game that you cannot lose at. It's inevitable. The outcome has already been prepared for you. The consequence here is that you're failing to prepare yourself to realize the blessings, the gifts that have already been anointed for you. Lean into that. You're playing a no-lose game. You've got a stack deck. You've got the unfair advantage. So use it. Step into that. Do the work. Show up. Don't allow fear of opinions of others, the past, the inopportune moments, the blaming, the testing believers, the distracted, the scarcity mindsets, the perfectionism, the underestimators, to hold you back from truly leaning in to help you take ownership of the legacy that you're meant to leave, the legacy that you're meant to live, the life that you're meant to step into, ultimately the door that you're supposed to walk through. Because when one door closes, four doors open, and all you have to do is just do it. Because remember, success is different. So own your different.